Well, good morning, friends. It is time for Friday with Jim, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, ably assisted by Kate Brister on the engineering department, and she is also the producer of this show, so she's wearing two hats today. Kate, thanks for joining us. And today we have Mike Leamy visiting with us to talk about Oregon's historic cemeteries. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here. Glad to share what little I know.
Well, I'd like to start out with a little bit of a biographical sketch, Mike, if you tell us about what you do and how'd you end up in the cemetery.
How I ended up in the cemetery? Boy, that's a rich question. Actually, my wife and I moved to Clatsop County as teachers back in, good heavens, what is it, 1977. And we wanted to raise our boys in the country and teach them a work ethic. And the bank didn't think that on our salary we could afford anything in the country, but this opportunity came up. And so in 1982, we moved out to Greenwood Cemetery. And just to illustrate our ignorance, we moved there in May, just before the biggest weekend of the year in cemeteries. And we had this crash course in getting everything ready for the crowd that would be there at the end of the month. And so since 1982, we have been out there at Greenwood, working, learning. It was a very short learning curve and very steep. And, many stories, many stories. But we won't go into that.
Well, but you're based at Greenwood Cemetery, but if I understand correctly, you're responsible for all cemeteries on the North Coast?
I do the shovel work in all of the cemeteries. The cemeteries on the North Coast are all designated historic cemeteries.
Right. How many are there?
It depends on which list you look at and which you classify as cemeteries. There are, I believe, 13 active cemeteries. There are perhaps as many, if we count various burial sites and family cemeteries that date back, good heavens, to pioneer days, as many as two dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe there are only 13 active ones, and I know the soil profile in every one of them.
Yeah, but
being historic cemeteries, they are fragile, and so the excavations need to be done the old-fashioned way. So I use the poor man's steam shovel and the poor man's dump truck.
Hmm.
Shovel and wheelbarrow.
I'll be darned. So there's no backhoe for you, huh?
In some areas, we have, out at Greenwood, we have areas that are fragile. As a matter of fact, I have a service there at Greenwood tomorrow, and that was a hand dig, even though I do have a backhoe.
Hmm. So that's your job, is to dig, or do you have helpers?
I can sometimes talk somebody into manning a spade to help me out, but they don't last very long for the most part.
Yeah.
I have one young man that helps me as often as he can, and he's durable. But I mentioned my own boys. I work them pretty hard, and they grew up and moved away and told me in no uncertain terms, "Dad, don't leave us the cemetery in your will."
Well, who actually owns the cemeteries?
It owns me.
Well, I understand that, but who owns the property?
It owns me. I'm it.
So you actually own this historic cemetery that you're living on, or you
yes.
are the caretaker? Oh, describe how that came about. You said you were looking for a country property.
Yes.
How did that happen to come up then, and you decide you were going to change your life and become a cemeterian.
One of the mortuaries acquired Greenwood Cemetery, and about 1982, the mortician decided that he was not enough people to operate both the mortuary and the cemetery. And so it was available, and my wife and I acquired it.
With the understanding that you would become then the primary caretaker?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. You talked a little bit about the fragility of some of these old cemeteries. To expound a little bit about that, what you mean by that in terms of the fragility of the soil and the artifacts and things there, the bodies there.
Well, let's see. We are just past the end of the month, and you just paid your bills. And some of those bills, you saw a place on the bottom of it that said, tear along the dotted line. And they perforated that to make it tear easily. Disturbed soil is like that dotted line. And we saw an illustration of the fragility just a couple of weeks ago over in El Waco, where we had record rainfall for the day, and a landslide took out a chunk. And you could see from the photographs where the disturbed soil of graves, when it liquefied with all of that rain and caved away, did so in the area where graves had been dug and disturbed the soil. And so you have that aspect. You also have the aspect of not only the physical fragility, they are vulnerable to natural forces like that. Ours was impacted very severely back in the 2007 storm. But then you also have the issue that came to light there in El Waco, where the historic cemeteries are marginally funded and I would say marginally staffed. Over there they have volunteers, and in many of the cemeteries there is a reliance on donations that may or may not materialize, and a reliance on an aging volunteer force for their care.
So what does this mean for these pioneer and heritage cemeteries? What symptoms do you see of the struggle of not quite enough money, not quite enough volunteers, this kind of thing? What are you seeing in our cemeteries?
There are a number of historic cemeteries across the state of Oregon that are essentially abandoned cemeteries with no care, and nature simply moves in and consumes them. You go down to the Hamlet Cemetery, for example. They're off of Highway 53, and you will find a cemetery that has been taken over by vegetation and has interest in care, but it is going to take a lot of restoration. You find cemeteries that have simply disappeared. There was one in the Willamette Valley a couple of few years ago, that was on farmland that was going to be converted to a vineyard. And the company that bought the land was told of the cemetery. There was no evidence of it. And they invested the time and resources to locate it and set that part of the property aside so that it was at least visitable. Other cemeteries across the state have, these are historic ones, these are pioneer cemeteries, out in the middle of nowhere because the town simply moved away, vanished. The cemetery is still there, and wildlife or livestock goes through, and the what memorials there are overturned. It was interesting. I opened my door this morning, and there was a herd of about 50 elk out in ours. And you startle them, they go galumphing across the grounds, and it's like an old pinball machine. They careen off of the monuments, and the monuments go over. And if they aren't in fast movement, then the monuments are just the right height to lean against and scratch their shoulders, and over they go. Oh, well, there's another one. And so the fragility of the historic cemeteries is multifaceted, and without a concerted effort of preservation, of restoration, of caring for them, they will vanish. One of my favorite quotes from Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Show me your cemeteries, and I'll tell you what kind of people you have."
Now, Mike, you serve on the Oregon Commission on Historic Cemeteries.
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about how that is structured.
It's a 7-member commission that was established by the Oregon legislature as part of the Oregon Department on Parks and Recreation. And its purpose is really the recording and preservation of historic cemeteries in the state. The cemeteries have the option of registering with the commission as historic cemeteries, and that opens an avenue of resources to them, including financial. Small, but something.
Right. And so the attempt there would then be to maintain all of these cemeteries.
Yes. The maintenance of a historic cemetery has, by its very nature, has to be broken down into bite-sized chunks. And so I mentioned the resources that are available. We have a grant program funded with lottery funds, and the commission gets about $50,000 to $60,000 a year that can be parceled out as grants to historic cemeteries for projects. Generally, the projects will be funded anywhere from $500. I think the largest one that I have seen funded was $9,000. And we've got sometimes applications for two or three times the amount of money that we have. So we have to go through and decide which one has done their research, has done their groundwork, has the most community involvement. Because if you don't have community involvement, if you don't have a community commitment to the preservation of the cemetery, it is going to be brief at best. And it has to be with succession in the interest.
You bet. I'd like to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and we're visiting with Mike Leamy from the Oregon Commission for Historic Cemeteries. And I'm ably assisted today again by Kate Brister. Kate, thank you. Now, Mike, it seems to me that over time we're seeing fewer and fewer full burials and more cremations. How is that tracking, and how does that affect the cemetery?
The active cemeteries rely on a cash flow from services that come in. And you're right, the ascending line of those who are choosing cremation crossed the descending line of those who are choosing full burial about the mid-90s. Hmm. Just looking at our books. Of course, the people talk about the cost of living escalating. The cost of dying is also escalating. And that has, to a great degree, driven the choice of cremation rather than the choice of full burial. which reduces the cash flow that the cemeteries have to commit to just the battle against the forces of nature. There are issues that that come up ongoingly. We have out of Greenwood Cemetery, for example, I mentioned the elk. And so I have a number of monuments that I have to reset. And with the number of birthday candles I'm starting to carry around, I'm not man enough to pick those up and set them up anymore. But beyond the uprights, the flat markers, topsoil builds up anywhere from 6 to 12 inches per century. And people come out and say, my flat marker is sinking. Well, it's not sinking. It's the accumulation of topsoil that is building up around it. And then we have the able assistance of the underground excavators, the moles, mm-hmm. that feel it is their duty to bury them. And so it's the endless battle to reset stones. And for the upright ones, I just had one large upright one set up yesterday. No, it was day before. And to have a crane come down, lift the thing up, and set it back in place, $350 for one stone.
Yeah.
So, and you can go on and on with the cost of trying to maintain, not restore or develop, but just to maintain. With all of the rain that we have had, a cemetery with gravel roads, the roads out at Greenwood are a bit rugged.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that that's really a challenge to prepare to take care of these cemeteries in perpetuity, really. I mean, how do you plan for taking care of the cemeteries 100 years out, 200 years out?
Historically, it was the families who did that. The highway out to Greenwood, Highway 202, wasn't put in until 1917. The cemetery was established in 1891, so all of the activity that went on out there, people were transported by river steamers. There was a dock that ran out to the low water mark in Young's Bay. And look at some of the monuments out there, the massive chunks of granite. They were all taken out on the river steamer and then carted along the dock and then dragged up the hill. And if you've been out there, you've seen how steep that hill is. Imagine the manpower or the horsepower or whatever. But then families would go out and care for their own family plots out there. They would take a picnic lunch. It was a gathering place. It was a place of remembrance, celebration of life on an ongoing basis. But families moved away. Families died out. The care dwindled. And there was a time out there where the care was at such a low that the brush had taken over, and if there was going to be a burial out there, somebody had to go out with a machete and chop a path to the gravesite so that the grave could be dug.
Hmm.
That's history. Mid-1950s, it was converted to a perpetual care cemetery, which established a trust fund that is supposed to provide for the care. There were families who paid into the trust fund, families who died out or moved away did not. So the trust fund was enough to cover some of them. And if you look at the market, the interest rate goes up, the interest rate goes down. Greenwood Cemetery has a perpetual care fund that pays 4/100ths of a penny per grave per year for care.
Hmm.
It doesn't go very far.
Right.
So perpetual care looks good on paper, but we look at the Astoria Municipal Cemetery over at Ocean View, and we find that their perpetual care fund, which is closer to $1 million than ours is, does not provide enough to care for that cemetery. Hmm. The care of the cemetery establishes a level of expectation for its care, for its appearance, for its maintenance. And with the fluctuation in the interest rate and the restrictions on the investments for the perpetual care fund, right now we are at a very low return. And what was inadequate is now laughable. Now, you'd cry if you see the distribution checks.
Yeah. Well, are families, are people still buying cemetery plots? Is that a source of cash flow that way?
It is. There are those who are buying the cemetery spaces. There are those not as much buying family plots because we are now a mobile society. And where decades ago people were here for more than one generation, they would, at the time of a death in the family, they would buy a block of graves so they could all be buried together. Not so much anymore. Illustrative of the families dying out, I have on my maps out there families that were here. They had a death in the family. They bought a block of six spaces. And as a result of the death, the family moved to where they had come from and left a block of six spaces with one burial in it. The family still owns that block of spaces.
Hmm. That's kind of what I was alluding to earlier. You say the family owns that block of spaces. Mm-hmm. How do they legally own the property?
They buy the burial rights. The family, when they buy the property, it is a marginal real estate transaction, but what they have is the burial rights to that plot of ground.
Mm-hmm.
And according to our cemetery rules, you can have one full burial in the space. You can also have inurnments in the space where people who have been cremated, their urns are placed on that space. So if you have a standard size space, you have space for six urns with three stones over them.
Hmm.
One at the head of the space, one at the middle, and one toward the foot. So you can get a lot of mileage out of a little bit of acreage. But it is for human burial only, no pets, no agriculture. So it's interesting. I had somebody out to the cemetery, what was it, about five Memorial weekends ago. And from the point that overlooks Young's Bay, very nice view, they wondered, is this always going to be a cemetery? I said, of course. And they said, you're not going to put condominiums here? I said, no. But that is an issue because you were asking about the fragility of historic cemeteries. Development encroaches on them. Matter of fact, we can look at a local event here in Astoria. There was a cemetery right in this area where we're sitting. But late 1800s, the city of Astoria was expanding, and they decided they would move the cemetery up to 15th and Niagara. And so they notified the families, and one winter day, it probably took longer than that, the loved ones were exhumed and carried up through the mud and reinterred at 15th and Niagara. Then, just after the turn of the last century, The city fathers, in all their wisdom, looked at the view from 15th and Niagara and said, with this view of the Columbia River, this would make a great city park. And so they started evicting the residents. Take your tombstone and get out of here.
Hmm.
So we have gravestones and burials out there at Greenwood that predate the establishment of Greenwood. They were evicted from the cemetery up there at the top of the hill.
Yeah, weren't you telling me that there's a cemetery underneath the armory?
Yes, the burial ground for the trading post that John Jacob Astor had established here is actually under the basement floor of the armory building. The armory was going to be acquired for office spaces, but it would require development of more support for the floor they were going to put above the gymnasium floor, which meant they would have to go down through the basement floor and establish concrete pads to support it. And they got to doing their research and found, we can't do that. Interestingly, burials that are over 75 years old in the state of Oregon are archaeological sites. Wrong word there, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeological sites, and they are protected, which goes back to the historic nature of all of the cemeteries in the county. Of course, the deciding factor for historic cemeteries is, was there a documented burial in the cemetery before February 14th, 1909, when Oregon was 50 years old? And I mentioned the 75-year landmark. There is a movement now to change that definition to a cemetery that has a burial that is 75 years old is a historic cemetery. So that would have it continually rolling forward and protect more of the cemeteries.
You know, a lot of these special districts, I guess we'd call them, I'm thinking of the Dyking District and mm-hmm. these kind of things. Is there any push to establish a special district to administer these cemeteries?
There are 62 cemetery maintenance districts in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, go back about 7 years, and Jürgen Madsen and I and a group of other citizens of Clatsop County were working to establish a countywide cemetery maintenance district here in Clatsop County. That may have been our mistake, because in seeking to establish a countywide cemetery district, we needed the endorsement of all five of the incorporated cities. We got one. I was told, you'll never get the communities, the South County communities, to agree. The first and only one to endorse the cemetery district was Cannon Beach.
Hmm.
And the other cities, when you are looking for tax dollars, they are looking for tax dollars. It's a vicious competition for the tax dollars.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And so we had one mayor in the county, as we were making our presentation, brush us aside saying, nobody visits those little cemeteries anymore. We had another who said, we don't have a cemetery. And they were right, they don't. But there's one within their urban growth boundaries.
Well, Mike Leamy from the Oregon Commission for Historical Cemeteries, thanks for stopping by to visit with us today. And it's rather a grim subject, I suppose, but it's something that we have to deal with. Now, it's been Friday here at Coast Community Radio. Kate's been helping today, and we appreciate that. We'll be back next Friday. I'm not sure what we've got scheduled for a guest, but we will have somebody next Friday, and so urge you to stick around. Also, following this brief news, Albert Smith will be here with his always wonderful Friday show, folk show. So until then, I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.